Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rock Church Podcast. My name is Shane Beeson and you are listening to the Rock Church in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us and we hope that this is a rich time together talking about God's Word. We're talking about salvation. So if you're following this series, we've been in a series we titled Doctrine and we're going into some more controversial or maybe hot topics for some and digging it into a little bit more. And so we're raring and ready to go, and I'm excited to get into this. Let me introduce to you who's here at the table today.
Jacob Krotzenberg.
Angie Preston.
And Michael Erdman.
Michael, you brought a great message on Sunday, and you have like one of my new favorite one-liners. You were talking about Peter in the boat. It was like, said something to the effect of like, if God called Peter to do something no one has ever seen before, what is he calling you to do that no one has ever seen before? And that was pretty inspiring. I was like, yeah, what am I going to do that no one's ever seen before? It was inspiring. But
can't walk on water. That's already taken.
Yeah, I tried when we were at the Sea of Galilee in Israel.
Didn't work.
But anyways, let's recap Sunday a little bit. And Michael, let's start with you. Give us just a little bit of rundown. I know we hit some topics or some categories that are prevalent in our culture here in our small town, which is kind of once saved, always saved phrase, or another side of the coin, which is like every time you sin, you're going to hell, so you got to get saved again, kind of mentality. So we talked about those two mentalities, but then you went into salvation as a whole. Give us a little bit of a recap, and then Angie and Jacob and myself, let's talk about what stood out to us on Sunday.
The argument of once saved, always saved, or lose your salvation, or how, you know, it's so annoying to me in a way of, why are we focusing on things of how we can get away from Jesus rather than focusing on how to get closer? And that's really the heart of the whole message, was salvation is a experience that should bring you closer to Jesus, and you shouldn't keep going, well, how do I keep doing this? Or what if, you know, how can he not love me through this or whatever? It's just the relationship and the journey that you get to experience with Jesus.
Yeah, I think about people, maybe it's the way preachers have explained this over the years, but it's more like an I don't want to go to hell moment rather than I actually want Jesus in my life moment. Because if you really want Jesus in your life, you want him and you're going to pursue him. And yes, you're saved.
Yeah.
But this whole thing of like, I want to say yes to Jesus so I don't go to hell is completely fear-based. You talk about this on Sunday morning, and we're looking, what you're talking about is a heart posture and a heart issue. Like, are we even looking at the right thing? If we're worried about eternal salvation, that's the wrong benchmark. The benchmark is knowing and loving Jesus and walking with him.
Right? Absolutely.
That made me think of a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, it's hardly a compliment to God that we chose him purely as an alternative to hell, yet even this he accepts.
Wow, yeah, that's crazy.
Great quote.
Yeah. Ange, let's go over to you. What stood out to you from a Sunday, and what have you kind of been mulling on since then?
Well, I'm going to say something super profound. thank you.
Quote,
bring it super
on.
Profound.
Buckle in here.
This is going to be amazing. I just have to ponder it. Growing up, that same thought process of the why, the heart, and it's the fire insurance. For me, growing up and understanding salvation as one thing, and then as I get older, understanding that it's God's love and his desire for relationship and for me to walk with him and follow him instead of the fire insurance or that choice. And just how in every season of my life that's revealed in a different and more personal way. Mm-hmm. So that fire insurance mentality is very impersonal and is like, of course I don't want to spend eternity in hell. Like, that sounds awful. Mm-hmm. And that's not at all, I mean, that's a great perk of salvation, clearly, but that's not the point of it. And I think it just cheapens it so much. And so if we're focused on that, that's kind of society, how we're, I don't know. I'm equating this salvation conversation to how our society is just cheapening the worth of, I'm going to say, creation.
Yeah.
So God created this beautiful earth for us to live and be a part of and co-labor with him. Like, hey, I created this, take care of it, steward it well. And now it's like, we don't even go outside and we're stuck on our devices. And that's the, like, I'm equating that to how we've cheapened salvation. Yeah. It's like, hey, if you don't want to live in hell for all of eternity, just check this box real quick and then you're good to go. And that's not his garden for us. Yeah. Like, he wants us to just be with him and walk with him and like show us these beautiful miracles in our lives and what he's created us to be, and not just this tiny, minute little thing, this tiny, minute little decision. And that is still, like, to this day, just mind-blowing to me. God wants to walk with me. His desire and heart is to be with me intimately, and that he's so big and so vast that he wants that for all of us. Like,
yeah.
What? How is he that big? Because I know for me, I'm like, oh, yeah, the check in the box is exactly what I need. Like, that's done and moving on. Now I can live my life. And I think for me and my upbringing, that was it. This decision is made. Yes, I love worship songs. Yes, I love coming to youth group. Yes, I love engaging in the corporate body, but I don't have that relationship. And that was never really, it was talked about conceptually, but it was never, you know, read your Bible, go to Bible study, have the head knowledge, but where's the walk?
Yeah, that phrase, fire insurance, is pretty offensive. It cheapens the sacrifice so much, right?
Yep.
And it's almost like, it's not even a get out of hell free card. It's more like it's a license to sin is really what it becomes. It's like, well, I have Jesus, so I get to have my cake and eat it too. So I'm going to live my life however I want. And the sad part is people don't realize is you're living in the curse.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the sacrifice was that
you don't have to,
that you can be reconciled to God. You could know God, be known by him, and that you can experience heaven on earth. This goes to your creation talk of like God, there's an aspect of God restoring the garden. This is what he desired. And he found a way through Jesus's sacrifice to tear the veil, as we know. And that shows him, us being able to experience his omnipresence here on the earth. And he wants to be with us. That's the point. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh, here, guys, I gave my life for you. I like bankrupt heaven for you, and I came down, experienced humanity, and experienced a brutal death and all this stuff just so I can give you like a get out of hell free card. Yeah. That's not the point of the sacrifice.
And I want to mention one more thing before we go on to the next person, but like living in a household where that was my experience, but then understanding my dad, he got saved as an adult, so it's different for him. But like my mom's mentality of it's all fear-based, and so it's works. You hope that you don't forget. It's not that you're losing your salvation and you have to, you know, re-accept Christ. It's just that constant wonder and fear that I've done something wrong.
Did I do this when I did this? Did I lose my salvation when I did this? That's putting you
in a constant state of fight or flight when God wants peace and rest for you.
Right.
So how does that manifest in your life? Like, that's revelatory to me, and like how tumultuous that was for my mom and other, like, it's a whole generation and a whole mentality of people to like say, I have to wonder constantly, it's an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And that is not at all what God designed a relationship with him to be.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, like that's absolutely so heartbreaking of like, what is God's heart? And then how, as a church, how do we get to a place where it's like, you better, you know, you don't, are you sure? Like, I don't know about that. Are you sure you're okay? Are you sure that just constant fear in your mind, what does that do to a human?
Yeah, I think about this phrase, it's a divine exchange. Salvation is like this divine exchange. It's like I get to lay down all my crap, all the worries of the world, the anxieties, like the fact that I can't produce well enough, or I'm not successful enough, or I don't look like whatever, or my comparison to the world, all this rat race stuff. I like have the ability to take this lump of junk and lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, hey, I want to lay down my life. I want to exchange what I bring to the table to receive what you bring and what you've created me for, and actually get to live a different life. Like, that's the whole point, is like salvation should produce new life. Like, we're new beings.
But here's the beautiful part of that, is it's a journey. Mm-hmm. And so an example, that's how I lived for so many years. And then when I came back to Jesus, it was almost a guilt-based works type earning back what I've lost kind of mentality, and just totally. Do as much as I can. And
you have to make up for lost time.
Yeah, I make up, you know, 7 years of never missing a Sunday on the worship team and making sure I'm at every event and blah, 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 yeah. Volunteering for everything that I can. And that was my life up until I moved here. And then when I moved here, COVID happened and the world shut down. And I hadn't, you
your
know,
works
I
didn't matter.
You're like, huh, how do I do work?
Yeah, I had nothing to do. I had no worship team. I had no church. I had no service. I had no preaching. I had nothing. Mm-hmm. And I remember going, God, why did you bring me here? This is ridiculous. And he says very clearly, you know how to do the church thing now. Now it's time to work on you. Okay. It's kind of ambiguous. But for the last 5 years, and I was already a Christian, 5 years I've been unlearning and relearning the right way to do life in salvation. And it's been painful, and it's been joyful, and it's been hard, and it's been confusing, and it's been all these things, but it's still the journey of salvation.
I think about that phrase, that verse, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which is humility, is really what it's talking about, this humble walk. I love what you just said. It's learning and unlearning and learning and unlearning. And as you're walking through that process with Jesus and he's doing that with you, you're being transformed, not just in what you understand about the Lord, but like in every way, he's really bringing you somewhere. He's building something in you and helping you produce fruit. So this goes into this whole part of the conversation too, of like, you will know them by their fruit. So if people are like, what is salvation, or how do I know I'm saved? Like, well, what are you choosing to do? What do you desire to do? What are you doing? Because, when you're saved, the Holy Spirit should be convicting you of sin. When you're saved, there should be a beckoning or a call to knowing the Lord, to wanting to learn spiritual things, to wanting to walk with the Lord. And then as you do that, your life should produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. And so if none of that is in your life, I know for me, I would be seeking out the Lord going, oh, I something's wrong, because it's broken in me. You know, like the thing that I desire in the Lord, it's not how good or bad I'm doing or how close I can get to the fire or how much sin I can do without being lost. It's that, it comes back to that relationship of like, God, are you active in me? Is something happening in me that lets me know that you and me have a relationship? Go ahead, Angie. You were going to say something.
One thing you said, what am I doing? And that like triggered in me this like that inner chaos of like performance, and I have to do something. And yes, it is a doing, but the way that I have to tell my mind is, what am I exuding?
Yeah.
So I'm producing, I'm quote unquote producing those fruits, but I can't.
But you're not producing them.
Yeah. And in my mind, I can't say, what am I doing? I have to say, what am I exuding? Because I'm so performance based that I have to like shift the way that I coach myself. And okay, how are you exuding God's love? How are you like, how is that seeping into the way that you're parenting, showing up at work, interacting with the cashier at Walmart, whatever?
Here's what, maybe this is my own experience and it doesn't relate, but it's the salvation reveals who you are to you.
Totally.
Because in that whole process of learning and growing and becoming alive, you have to face things that you've never wanted to face in your life before.
Yep.
And so that's, exuding is a word that works, but I like partnering. Yep. Because you come, yep, alongside, absolutely, with the Holy Spirit. And he says, here's an issue that you need to work on. This is hurting you. This is kind of where we're stuck. Here's what we're going to work on. And that's, he so points, good, it out, and he says, here's the strength to do it. But guess what? You've got to take up the half of your part of it. Mm-hmm. Let's say it's emotional intelligence and you do the classes that we used to do here at The Rock. You got trauma that you need to relive and you pray and you do this, but you also need professional help. You see counseling, you have relationship issues. You've got to go and actually reconcile the relationships. Like, yeah, you have to do the things in partnership with what the Holy Spirit is revealing. And this is another part of that growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll go back to your doing phrase, 'cause I did say that, and that wasn't really the word I meant. So thank you for jumping in on that, because it made me immediately think of Jesus and the Pharisees. They're moralists, right? They're doing all the right things. All of their actions, they're trying to do perfectly. And Jesus says, that's not the point. Like, you're missing the main point. And so it's not about what I'm doing, it's about who I'm with. This, and then you were talking about fruit, and the whole point is, though I partner, like what Michael's saying, in producing that fruit, it's actually him that produces the fruit in me. It's not something, I can't fake. So if I'm a moralist and I'm just worried about doing everything right,
quote unquote,
there's a sense of fake fruit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the kind of fruit that the Lord, it's not fruit of the Spirit, it's fruit of man, I guess you'd say.
It's like being nice and not kind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, Jacob, let's jump over to you. What are you thinking about for Sunday recap?
Yeah, so there was a lot of things that went on in my head, and hopefully I can synthesize it and help it make sense. But last Wednesday in our high school Bible study, we were talking about this same topic and talking about what repentance is, what salvation is, how do we walk in salvation, and you know, there is an aspect of doing in salvation, but it's about like where your attitude is. Or is it like, are you doing things for God to earn salvation, or are you doing things because you love God, because you already have salvation? And how I kind of talked about it was, I was talking to this student and I was like, let's say, it's summer break, or you have the day off of school for whatever reason, and mom and dad come to you and say, hey, have a great day. The only thing I ask is that you make sure the dishes in the dishwasher get washed and put away. And that's the only thing I need for you to do today. And you end up sitting on the couch and binging a TV show all day. And then mom and dad get home and they want to make dinner, but the dishes that they need to make dinner aren't ready to be used. And so you can say you're sorry, but what does that actually do?
Right.
Jack squat.
Right. So
the aspect of repentance that comes into this is, it's not only being sorrowful over your sin, but it's choosing a new path.
Yeah, exactly.
What is that path fueled by? Like, if someone cuts me off in the aisle at Walmart, they might say sorry, but like, there's no repentance involved in that. It's all about relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So like, you're not going to be motivated to do something different if you don't have a relationship with who you need to repent to.
Right.
So all of these works that we talk about in accordance with salvation come because we already have a relationship with our Father. And so this is how it was taught to me when I was a teenager. And it was always coupled with the fact that, I'll just say the quote. It was, if works couldn't get you salvation, then what makes you think your sin can make you lose it? Mm. And that was always coupled with the fact that you need to want a different path, because there's someone who's already paid the penalty,
yeah,
for your sin and debt. And if you care about that, then you're going to do good works. Then that puts the onus on us, especially as ministers, of why is this important? Why is God dying on a cross important for the fact that he wants to spend eternity with us. What is our response to that? And that's where our works come from.
Yeah. Oh, well, and you made me think about this. Another aspect. I love repentance. I just got to say, like, and for me, I don't know. I don't see salvation existing without it, mm-hmm. because
exactly. It doesn't.
Why do you need, this goes into your conversation. Why do you need salvation if there's nothing to repent of? Right. You don't. But a lot of people are living like that. And to me, it reminds me of, I use this phrase of like the God app on your phone. It's like, if you're the one, I'll use, because sometimes us as ministers, and I repent for this, because sometimes it's easy to say like, hey, if you want to receive Jesus, say like, raise your hand and confess him, and we want to pray with you. Well, most of the time they don't come up for prayer. They like raise their hand. And I feel like a lot of times it's like there's not actually repentance. It goes back to the fire insurance card. And to me, in a modern day sense, it's like, it's not fire insurance so much as it is like a God app. And it's like they downloaded this app and they don't really use the app ever. It's like on the third page of their swiped, you know, home screen. And then they actually only go to that app when you know what hits the fan. So like when life gets really bad, it's like, oh, I'm suffering. Let me scroll over to my God app and then like put in some requests of like how to make my life better. And the whole point is that's not the purpose. Like, yes, God wants to hear from you. He wants to know what's going on in your life. He wants to be involved in it all. But he's not this like add-on that I only bring in like on a Sunday morning or every 3 months when I've made a bunch of bad decisions and now my life sucks. That's not what the point is. Right. It's like repentance is turning. I love how you were talking about that. Mike talked about it good on Sunday. It's like, no, I want to let all this stuff of my life, I want to turn away from that stuff and I want to turn towards walking with Jesus because I know that He is the solution.
Right. Like I'm taking a new path.
Yeah. I'm choosing something new. Something that I didn't choose before, I'm choosing now.
And this is why people need more literacy in the Bible, because especially when you get like when you get to the day, like there are two judgments, right? There's the Great White Throne judgment and the Bema Seat judgment. Those of us who are in Christ, we won't be judged for our sins. That won't be counted against us. For those who are walking with Jesus, we'll be judged for what we did with the time we had.
Right.
And that's our reward. That's not our judgment.
Yeah, it's a reward judgment, not a judgment of hell.
So repenting, I mean, God paid the penalty for our sin, but now in our repentance, we get to choose a new path. God has laid out a path. God has laid out a calling. God has laid out a purpose on each and every one of our hearts, and we get to choose what to do with that. And that is our reward, not our burden.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ann.
And I think that repentance is also, I'm translating this in my mind, of like how we rewire our mind, okay? So it's always been explained to me of like, yeah, you're going to screw up and like, God's going to forgive you. So like how many ever times God is going to forgive you, he's going to keep forgiving you. Okay. That's great. That concept does not help my mind. I want to retrain my mind, and the patterns for the last 40 years that I've created are going to take some time and some effort to rewire, because man, am I a creature of habit? Like, that is exactly what repentance is. I'm going to turn to choose Jesus. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk that way. Yes, I will probably fail 500 times. But when I recognize in that moment that I screw up, I'm going to turn to Him. When I'm 5 miles down the path, I'm like, whoa, you forgot. You're following Jesus.
Yep.
And then every time you're rewiring your brain, it's that time gap is shorter and shorter and shorter until the sin you're working on or the sin that you're entangled in is no longer enslaving
free.
You. You're
totally
free of it. And sometimes God does that in an instant with a miraculous work. And sometimes that is a long path of healing.
Yep.
Well, and Jesus said it himself, like, you have to choose a new path.
Yeah.
And the path that leads to righteousness is narrow and steep, and it's hard to traverse.
Yep.
But those who follow that will find righteousness.
So, and what you were referring to in a way, Angie, was a repentance isn't a one moment of salvation.
It's continual.
It's continually. And Jesus says that. He says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, which means this is going to be a journey. Mm-hmm. And that's how you find healing on the earth, is you, as you're corrected from. So when you give your life to the Lord, when you choose to choose the new path, when you begin to follow him, he deposits the Holy Spirit. And now you have somebody to help you, to comfort you, and convict you. And so when you start to do things that are not pleasing to him, you should feel convicted, which is like a sorrow or an uncomfortable, uneasy feeling for the wrong thing that you're doing. And repentance is going, identifying that and going, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do that anymore. I need to turn away from that and turn towards Jesus. This goes to what Angie was saying. And when you do that, you actually, scientifically speaking, we know that science proves this, you're creating new neural pathways, right? Mm-hmm. And so as you continue to do that, you continue to live on that pattern. And I want to say this too. Let's remember the biblical word salvation actually means to be saved, healed, and delivered. So it's multifaceted, and it's actually even more deep than those three words. But you are saved from something, you are being delivered from something, and you are being healed from something. Mm-hmm. So this process continues to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance over and over. And every time we repent, every time we turn to the Lord, we find a new way, a new attribute of salvation. Yep.
And another thing, I'm just reflecting on that, what you just said of Michael, what you brought, and Shane, you've said this multiple times, is, you know, you, that moment of salvation, you were saved. You are continually being saved and being renewed and healed, and experiencing sanctification daily. And one day you will be saved when you are in heaven. And I think that concept of like the one and done, it's just such a beautiful process. And again, that speaks to relationship, is God doesn't want your yes. He wants your yes every day. And he wants to walk with you every day.
Yeah, so, that's the core, is God wants to be with his people. The reason why Jesus came is to restore as much as he could in this part of the world's existence, the Garden of Eden. I want to walk with you in the just like in the cool of the evening, Adam and Eve, we know that part of Genesis, it talks about that. He's like, I want to be with you. I want to live with you. And in this era, this is the way that I get to live with you. And I get to ensure that you get to live with me forever, for in eternity.
So this might be a bit of a gross perversion of a holy God, but did any of you like ever know someone in high school whose dad was a judge or like a cop or something like that? And so this kid could do whatever they wanted and they would always get away with it.
Yeah. So I've known kids like that. 100%. Yeah. It's like they always got away with everything. And I would say it even in a normal parenting way. Like I knew some kids that were just rich, you know, and whenever they get in trouble, their parents' influence or whatever could bail them out.
Yeah, yeah.
Their connections save the day. Yeah.
But my point being, like, man, we got to be like that punk kid sometimes. Or even though God doesn't have to send Jesus to die again and send Jesus to God to die again, he's like, this is what I paid for. This is my son that I would love so much to use my resources, use my influence to make sure that they don't have to experience the pain of their decision.
Yeah, and maybe we could talk about this for a second. Let's talk about sin, because most people today are like, why do I need salvation? What is sin? They don't even realize what is happening is wrong, and it's offensive to God and separating themselves from God. And I'll have you guys jump in on this, but I see two categories. I like see this sin of creation, which is essentially everything that is not his original creation is sin or a manifestation of sin, meaning he created a certain way, it was perfect. Our sin introduced curse, and since then it's kind of been this cycling of curse and sin. So everything outside of his original design is essentially sin or a byproduct of sin. But then we have like the Ten Commandments, and we have the law, and we have that element of sin which reveals how far we are off from being on point. And then we realize, oh, we can't keep up with any of that. There's no hope, right? And so we can break some big ones. Hey, anything, we'll use like man and wife, right? Because this is not only what the law of Moses says, but in creation, we see that God created man and woman, one male, one female, to be married and joined together, one flesh forever. That's it. That's how sex was designed. That's how male and female was designed. That was God's original plan. So everything outside of that, let's use fornication or adultery or lust or any of those things. Jesus even said, hey, even if you think about that woman and with lust, you've committed that adultery in your heart, right? So what he's saying is, hey, I made it this way. Everything in your life is this way. That's sin. So it's pretty intense when you really think about it. So there's a million things right now that are working to separate us from God. The point isn't that to worry about all those things. The point is we are separated from God until we choose to repent and to follow Jesus. And he comes in, he's looking for our yes, and he comes in with a deposit of the Holy Spirit, which is like our conviction. Line,
yeah.
Straight, direct to God. And so maybe that can help people understand. So in our world, you know, here's what we can get into. Because there was these weird times and patterns where like, oh, if you smoke, you're sinning. Well, not necessarily. That's just the choice of a habit. And like with many things, is like, well, if you're so addicted to smoking or whatever other thing you can think of,
fill
or alcohol,
blank.
Fill in the blank, if that has control of your heart, if that's the king of your heart, it's a sin. That's idolatry, right? So there's all these aspects, but maybe we can talk about this for a minute, because I don't know if our culture understands what sin is, but almost our very existence of living separates us,
yeah.
separates us from God.
Oh,
right?
It absolutely is. So I've heard it explained, sin is, or the law is like a mirror, but I see it more of like a dartboard. So the center point is 100% holiness, 100% perfection, which we only know that to be fulfilled by God.
Right.
So, but
only he hits bullseyes, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Only God hits the bullseyes, but we're still throwing darts, and maybe we're on the board, and, or if you're me playing darts, like you may be like 1,000 feet above the board or under
the wall,
off to the sides of the board.
I'm that kind of dart.
You got holes all over the drywall where I mounted it. But it's just a tool to show us that, like, hey, this is how you achieve holiness. Now try to go out and do it. No one can do it.
And then the scripture says all have fallen short.
Yeah, it's not attainable
all.
On earth.
It's completely.
All that it's there for is to show the holiness of God and how we are not there. That's why the gift of Jesus is so great. Like, it's so amazing, because he said, I'm taking your board off of the drywall, and I'm shoving it right in the bullseye right there, because I want you there with me.
Yeah. And what do we know? So we'll just say it this way. Just by our very existence is sin, mm-hmm. right? Because the Bible talks about the sins of the Father being passed down. Yeah. The reality is, from Adam and Eve, sin has entered the world, and it's like in our DNA, essentially, right? But what is the wages of sin? Death. That's what the scripture says. But the gift of God is eternal life. So it's like we are born into something, whether we like it or not, but thank God that in our time, we have been given a deliverer, right? Someone to save us for that. And so let's go into this, because we talked about this phrase, the free gift of eternal life, which I don't mean to be mean, but I dislike that phrase so incredibly much. I think it's very deceiving. Because it is not free in the sense that we think of free. Michael, why don't we talk about that for a minute? You talked about that a little bit on Sunday. Let's get into it.
Yeah, all of the language that we use in English is inadequate, I think, when we're trying to describe
Absolutely.
Some of the things in the Bible. And it's, you know, free has taken on so many different connotations over the generations. But at this point, free, in my experience, means you get this thing with no strings attached. There's no interest rate. There's no taxes. There's no nothing. And it's yours to do with whatever you want to do with it. And that's definitely not the case with salvation. And a gift, if you think about it, always costs the giver something.
Yeah.
It always costs the giver. I can't give you a gift unless I purchase it or make it.
Right.
Or
it has whatever. To come from somewhere.
It comes from somewhere, yeah. And the gift of salvation was very expensive.
Absolutely.
For God,
the most expensive thing in the history of all eternity.
Right. And so the choice, again, the choice is free. Yeah, we have a choice. You can't stop me making a choice. That's free.
Right.
But the weight is heavy. It's responsible. And Jesus says it. You know, we didn't get into the parable, but he talks about if you're going to build a house, you're going to count up all the resources that you need. You're going to make sure you have the land. You're going to make sure that you have the money to finish this so that you don't start it and get halfway through and stop.
Right. So this is where this whole phrase of free gift of salvation already doesn't translate, because it was the most extravagant cost in all of eternity. But here's my experience. It cost me too.
Right.
So I exchanged in repentance. I exchanged my former life for a new one in Christ. And Jesus even says this, to come and die so that you can truly live.
Right.
So I had to crucify, and even it says this, crucify your flesh, pick up your cross daily, follow him. Like, the reality is nothing about it in my world personally was free, which is why I dislike that so much. And even today, as I love and I pursue God, I have to say no to things over and over and over again. My walking repentance daily is actually a cost. I don't get to go do whatever I want. I don't get to follow every desire I want to follow. I have to sacrifice those things. And so to me, I don't see the free gift. I'm just going to be honest with you guys here at the table and you listening. I don't see anything free in it. I see a high cost, but a cost that's absolutely worth it.
Right.
Like, I will do it over and over and over again because I know what God has for me is so much better than what I had for myself.
Right.
Sorry, Ange.
It's like you need a word study on what they're writing when they say free.
Yes.
Because it does say free gift of God. What are they using that word for? You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, how is it actually being used?
Because it's not. And it's very clear in Scripture. Jesus, again, he says, count the cost. Make sure you're ready. You can't turn back. You have to put your hand to the plow and keep going and all of these things. There's something involved in following Jesus.
Yeah.
You got to check the box, but you also have to read the terms and conditions.
Good one.
They're important.
Yeah. Good one.
And it's not like those terms or conditions are in there to be manipulative. It's not like, oh, once you sign here, here's a bunch of stuff you didn't know. It comes down to count the cost. Like, do you want to exchange your filthy rags for eternal glory?
Right.
Or to know the Lord? Go ahead, Angie. You were going to jump in.
I think this is another aspect of our understanding of and comparison of, like, Shane, what you're being convicted of, what the Holy Spirit is convicting in you, and how you are walking out your salvation and being, sanctified.
Sanctified.
I can never remember the word sanctified.
Sanctified's a great word, and that's a beautiful journey.
So as you are being sanctified, looks so much different than the way me or Michael or Jacob is being sanctified. And so that's why I think being others' judge is so key of, like, if our pursuit is on Jesus, it doesn't, like, I want to partner with you guys in your sanctification and, like, talk to you about that.
Yeah.
But that's not my lane, man.
Right.
Like, it, and then the accountability piece of, like, if I have a relationship with you and I see you, like, jacking up and I'm, like, being an idiot, I'm going to be like, hey, what's going on here? That doesn't seem like in alignment with what God's doing in this other aspect of your life. And that's the, like, our relationship and our accountability and friendship with one another versus, oh, you know, I'm really concerned about how you're doing this. No, you focus on your relationship with God and how he's moving in your life and stay out of the weeds with everybody
else. So let's talk about sanctification, because some people might not understand word. So
an
easy way to explain that is, it is the process of God purging out the junk out of your life.
And that's part of repentance too.
You're being transformed.
Too.
Yeah.
How so the Holy Spirit's convicting you.
All these things work together.
You.
Yeah. So if I do something that is wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts me. I have the opportunity to repent and correct it. And when that happens all throughout my life, what happens in 5 years from this date is hopefully I look more like Jesus than I did 5 years ago. That's the, so sanctification is that process. And I will say this, like, because of the blood of Jesus, before a holy God, I am sanctified because of his work. It's done and it's being worked out. This is the whole process of salvation. Mm-hmm. It's both, it's a yes and. I am sanctified and I'm being sanctified. And because sanctified is tied to holiness, set up, being set apart, being clean. And so it is a journey and a process. And so for those listening, that's sanctified, again, is kind of the, it's God cleansing you from your...
that's heaven on earth.
Yeah, your sin, your infirmity, the things that separate you from him. He's working that out of you. Yeah. And working, like you talked about, these new patterns. He's creating new patterns with you. So you look, act, you look more like him, you act like more like him, and you get to experience more of heaven on the earth. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to bring this to just a real bottom practical level. The world is looking for this inner peace, right? We're all looking for the ability to be able to live with ourselves, to like ourselves, to just live and be able to tolerate earth. Jesus says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Mm-hmm. And we always say, you know, you hear eternal life, you hear this, and we associate that with after I die. It's not, it's now. From that moment you say, yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord, that's where your life starts.
Yeah.
And in that transformation, yeah, we see, you know, you see the behavior modification, as it were. You see the fruit happen, but in the internal aspect of all of that, is the ability to deal with yourself. You could sit in a quiet room. When I was, you know, 5, 6, 8 years ago, I couldn't sit in silence because I couldn't handle all the chaos in my head and over the work and the stuff that me and Holy Spirit have done over the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. I love the silence. I love sitting there and being able to just be at peace and not have everything pulling and being noisy and like, chaos now is something I can't just sit in the middle of and be like, this is life. You know, the transformation inside is what gives you that life now.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody seems to want, but the only thing they associate with Christianity is behavior modification.
Yeah.
So I think it was at Sermon Creation meeting last week that we were talking about this message, and this made me think of the, it's not free. It's yours, but it's not free. Is we were talking about the Shane, your Ford Galaxy mm-hmm. that you got from your grandfather. His plan was to give it to you all along, and it'd be yours and it'd be sitting in your garage. But if you don't do anything with it, if you don't invest in it, then you don't get to participate in the blessing mm-hmm. of inheriting that.
Right. And we could continue that metaphor because the reason why he had that to give, because it cost him something. And there's years and years of him. He didn't get rid of it. He worked on it. He kept it nice for the family. Right. So there was a cost there. And then
and
for
it
me,
it's
been a cost. Right. And absolutely. That's totally true. I'm wondering, I want to go back to, let's go back to, here's what I'm thinking. Like, what are some favorite salvation verses that you guys have? Like, what, when you think about, like, quotes out of the Bible on salvation, I'll start with one because I really love the one that Michael brought in on Sunday, Romans 8. A lot of people know this. There is, therefore, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. And Paul has a bunch of rad one-liners, we'll call them. But I love that because so many people feel condemned. Mm-hmm. And the point, when you walk with Jesus, you should feel corrected, not condemned.
And it's all about that love and relationship, yeah. That perfect love.
Right. So,
which sometimes is not fun.
No, correction. Correction feels like correction, but it's important to understand the difference. And I think why some people feel condemned is because they don't understand salvation fully. And what they're doing is they're saying, this goes into the once saved, always saved, or cheap grace comment of like, hey, I raised my hand, I'm saved. Now I'm going to go do whatever I want, which is not salvation. You can't, that's not the point of salvation wasn't to see how close you can, it's not a license to sin, right? So a lot of times when those individuals that are living that way, they feel condemnation when they come into church because they...
That's Holy Spirit conviction, yeah, wouldn't that be?
Yeah, but the reality is you might be feeling conviction of the Holy Spirit that you are not living as God intended you to live. And so that's just one thing I pull out of that verse. Somebody else jump in.
One of my favorite books of the Bible, well, it's probably my favorite book of the Bible, is Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which speaks to the price that he paid and why he paid it, because he loves us, because of his grace, because we didn't deserve it, he shed his blood.
Mm. Yeah.
One of my favorites is while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I'm drawing the blank on the verse reference there.
Yeah,
but
I love that.
While we were still sinners. So it's, I didn't earn it and I didn't even know I needed it when he died for me.
Yeah.
He just did it because of his love. Like you said, Jacob, but one of the other ones that I really love, and it's more of a foreshadowing because it's in Jeremiah, but Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, is, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers. For this is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it mm-hmm. on their hearts, mm-hmm. and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Yeah.
No longer shall they teach his neighbor, each one saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least to the greatest, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more.
I love that. I think about, I love all people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it doesn't matter your who you are, what you're able to do or not do, how young or old you are, what like part of society,
or culture,
or how much you've sinned or not sinned or whatever, like that, what God did through Jesus Christ is available to all. And actually, this is what Jesus is referring to at the Last Supper when he breaks the bread and takes the cup, and they're at the Passover dinner, and he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. This is what he's referring to, is this Jeremiah 31, 31. Yeah. He's saying, I'm fulfilling this moment. This is happening, mm-hmm. and I am the one that fulfills it. And yeah, it's incredible.
Just knowing, and the beauty is looking back at the history of God's walk with Israel and seeing him live with his people and blessing and pouring himself out into the midst of them, and then saying, I'm going to go up even one more and I'm going to do this in you,
right,
rather than around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
I'm so thankful for the Lord. I don't know how I would make it without his activity in my life. Like,
right.
Like I've been walking with the Lord a while now, but he never has left me or forsake me. And I always have a place to go, so to speak. And I always have someone to seek. And he's always guiding me and directing me. And it's like, how amazing is that? And my heart goes out to those that don't feel that feel lost. They're trying to find their way through life without that. Like, to me, it's like this compass in my chest that always, even though I'm fall short, it always knows, like figures out where north is,
yep.
you know, and it's
it
like,
has the facts.
Yeah. And it's like, it always keeps me on track, and it's, I think it's easy to take that for granted as believers because you get used to it. But the reality is we were all once, we didn't have that. And now we do. And yeah. Ange, jump in.
Yeah, the two verses that I think of are the first two verses I learned as a kid. And I remember the day I hung out with my grandparents all the time. And we were at this like old school 1980s table, just kicking it, me and my grandma and her coffee. And I learned Romans 3:23 and Romans 6:23, the 23s. And that's how she walked me through salvation. I did not necessarily accept that at that point, but that was the first, like, I'll never forget those verses. Yeah,
read it out.
Yeah. Okay, so Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then she just explained to me that what sin was, you know, and she gave me examples of how I've sinned, and she wasn't condemning, she was so loving. And I think that's, again, the beauty of Christ in those spiritual mothers of our lives. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And those are like those heart verses that, like, they're so deep, but also the memory of that, like getting all choked up, but like the memory of that is makes it even more beautiful. And having that relationship with her is different than my relationship with Christ, but like she loved me so much to share that with me.
Yeah.
How much more does our Heavenly Father love us?
Yeah, that was reflective of the Lord by even how she did that. So let's do this. I want to, if somebody ends up listening to this, is like, yes, like, how do I do this? And what I'd like us all to comment is like, what would you do? What would you recommend? Because this isn't there's no one silver bullet. This is a dynamic thing. And I love these aspects of knowing the Lord. I would say, if you're listening right now, find a quiet space alone and think about this, really think about it. And I would encourage you to have an authentic prayer to Jesus. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to have all the right words. It's about the heart. Ask him to reveal himself to you. Talk to him, like confess what's going on in your life. Ask him to intervene. The key aspect is, again, you would be deciding, when you give your life to Jesus, you are deciding, I want to let go of these things. I'm letting go of my old life. I want to exchange that life for the life that you have for me, Lord, which means that, Lord, you need to be the Lord of my life, the King of my heart, and teach me how to follow you. Teach me, Holy Spirit, come and fill me and lead me and guide me. These are the things that I would encourage people to cry out for, to know God more. Will you guys jump in? What would you want somebody to know about a salvation moment? And I just want to remind you, it doesn't have to be at a church with some special person raising your hand or whatever. This can be on your knees at your bedside. Driving in your car. Whatever it is, jump in.
I would say that salvation's not just a moment, but a journey. And so for a lot of those people who they don't know that they've ever actually accepted Christ before, in addition to what Shane said, is actually praying and asking God to forgive your sins is the repentance point that we talked about of choosing a new path. And if you don't know what that is, I would say, get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, reach out to us. We'll get you a Bible. If you
have questions,
if you have questions about like what you're reading, please reach out to us also and ask God to reveal those things to you in your readings as well. There's so many good plans on YouVersion and like Lectio Divina and things, and YouTube and all these things. Like just seek out through God's Word what His will for you is.
Oh, that's a deep question. Do we have another hour?
No. No. I'm hungry. Let's wrap this up.
I guess salvation moment, I would encourage the listener to think that it's a relationship. It's not a performance-based thing. It's not a works-based thing. Your works, you'll just want to do things. If you love somebody, you want to do something for them.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the overflow of the fruit. But he wants to know you and you to know him the same way. And so it's just a cry out. You know, it says those who cry out to the Lord will be saved. It's just crying out and saying, mm-hmm. I need you. I can't do this. Forgive me and make me something that I can deal with.
Yeah. Make me something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Yep. I think for me, so many aspects of my life, but thinking about somebody who hasn't made this decision of where do I start? What am I like? I'm already so far behind, or I've already failed. Start somewhere. And this is
just start.
It doesn't matter if you screw up or you do it wrong or, you know, air quotes on all of those things. Like, just start. Just say, hey, God, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I feel totally ridiculous. Welcome humility. Welcome to every.
I still say that.
And that's, I think this is my point is like the farther that I am in a relationship with him, the more I realize that I have to be humble. Like, God just wants me to not care that I look like an idiot. So it's like being that student to just be like, I'm going to ask the dumb questions because I'm curious. Have you ever been that excited about a topic?
I just want to know.
I just want to know, like, be the elementary school student and be okay with it because that heart, the heart of a child is what God desires. So you don't need to know all the things. Just like ask the stupid question, the thing that you should know or whatever. Just ask. Yeah. Ask God. Preach. Ask somebody that you trust.
Come on.
Look at John. Go to John and just read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't start in Genesis. That's super confusing.
Yeah.
Lord. Definitely don't start in Numbers. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice, and we thank you for saving us, and thank you for the opportunity to even talk about this with each other and with others, and may there be many hearts that turn to you and come to know you and seek you out. And thank you for the miracle of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.